This week on the show, the Red Sox are getting set up for their playoff run. What's right, what's wrong? You know what is wrong, the New England Patriots. We'll touch on those topics. Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub joins us. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Welcome into another episode of the Calling It podcast. It is September 27th, a Thursday episode. Alex Barth along with Alex Lebowitz. Mr. Lebowitz, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Just fine. It's nice that we actually... here's how good I'm doing. We actually had a weekday where I had enough time to record the show. So, light week for me. We're also joined. He is the host of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast. You can find that at 98.5thesportshub.com. You can also hear him on 98.5 on the dial. Matt McCarthy, guest hosting this episode with us. Matt, how are you?
What's going on, boys? Always good to be on with you.
So since you host the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, I want to start right off with a hardcore baseball question. This was floated to me by somebody I know today. I got a text this morning. Somebody who does know the game of baseball, somebody whose opinion I trust, texted me wondering, after seeing what Chris Sale did last night and his clear struggles, I'm going to dive right into this. We're going 0-60. Is Chris Sale actually the answer for the Red Sox in the eighth inning? Is Chris Sale's is the best place to use Chris Sale for the Red Sox in the postseason out of the bullpen, Matt?
It's not necessarily a crazy idea. I understand where that person is coming from, but the thing is, you need Chris Sale to be your ace. Like, you're not winning if he's not your number one starter.
Do you trust him to be the ace after what you saw last night?
You have no choice.
Okay.
You absolutely have no choice because, you know, listen, the bullpen is a huge concern and they don't have somebody, and maybe Chris Sale would be better suited for, you know, not as much work, but a couple things. Can he bounce? Can he pitch on an everyday basis with the shoulder inflammation, the issue that keeps seeming to pop up for him? I think there's a recovery problem there. I think there's a bounce back issue there. I'm not sure if pitching more frequently would help him. And B, guys, the Red Sox haven't had a pitcher who's gone five innings in the last two playoff runs. They need better starting pitching, first and foremost. Chris Sale's your ace. He needs to be your number one starter. He needs to be Chris Sale. Otherwise, you're not winning. You move him to the bullpen, okay, you know, who's starting in his place? You know, you're going to see more Nathan Eovaldi, more Rick Porcello, more Eduardo Rodriguez. You know, starting games for you, I don't think that works. Listen, if you had, you know, Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw and John Lester behind him, okay, then you can get creative. You don't. Nobody does, but you especially don't.
Matt, what do you think? Pardon me, Lebowitz, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'd even go a step further. You need him as your ace, but you probably also need him to come out of the bullpen at least a few times if you're going to plan on making a run.
So similar to last year.
Similar to last year, and I'm not saying go four or five innings out of the bullpen in game four, although it might come down to that, but even if you want him to come in for one inning in that eighth inning, you might have to do it. Right now, the starting rotation, none of these guys have proven themselves in the playoffs, so you're going to need Chris Sale to be the ace, and in the bullpen, it's the same deal. You have really no one you can rely on in this pitching staff, and Chris Sale's included, so... yeah, this team set a record this season for the most wins in franchise history. That's all fine and dandy, but there's still a glaring hole. And if Chris Sale isn't on his game, they're screwed.
Real quick on that, Lebowitz. Yep. Sorry to interrupt you there, Barth. Is Chris Sale physically capable of pitching on short rest?
That's the issue, and I don't know. Given what we saw yesterday and how slowly his return has happened, I don't know. I'm not all that optimistic. I'm going to be honest. So, yeah, my gut tells me no, he isn't. So you're going to have guys step up from that bullpen, and right now no one's done that. And
that's why I'm semi-buying in on this Chris Sale bullpen theory. The more I thought about it today, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going to use as an example of the reason it would work is the Tampa Bay Rays. Normally garbage franchise, but look at what they did this year. They were low-key one of the better teams in baseball this year, using that bullpen day format where they would put a pitcher out there for just one inning to maybe two to get them the outs. Then if they got the lead, go with their better pitchers. Matt, you mentioned how unreliable the Red Sox starters have been in the playoffs. If you throw somebody, maybe you don't trust as much as Sale, but maybe a guy like a Hector Velasquez, a guy who's had some success out there. You could even do this with David Price, with Eduardo Rodriguez, whoever, and your offense can get you a lead in the second or third inning. Then you throw Sale and you get five from him. And look, if you need Chris Sale to pitch multiple times in this series, wouldn't you rather only have him going three or four innings as opposed to five or six?
I'm not quite sure if it's the workload and individual appearances, though, with Chris Sale. Like, I feel like it's the bounce back between appearances, whether he's throwing, you know, 60 pitches or 80 pitches or 40 pitches. Like, I don't know if he can bounce back the next day or 2 days later. I feel like that is the issue with Sale right now. I'm not necessarily opposed to the opener strategy. I think you might see some teams try it every once in a while in October, particularly when you get to, say, your third or fourth starter. I mean, if I'm the Milwaukee Brewers or I'm the Oakland A's, a team without, you know, traditional good starting pitching, I'm seriously considering employing the Tampa Bay Rays opener strategy. I just don't know if it really applies to the Red Sox and Chris Sale, because, again, you know, let's say he throws 50 pitches in an outing. Does that mean he can come back 2 days later on short rest? I think it's the in-between stuff. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he went out there and pitched well on 8 days rest in game one of the ALDS. The question is, what is he doing in game four or game five when you're asking him to pitch on 3 days rest or 5 days rest? Like, that's my concern. And I don't think he's physically capable of going on 3 days rest. If you're going to have somebody do that, it's going to be David Price. He's physically built for it.
And that's what's scary to me. And Lebowitz, we've talked a lot about this. Chris Sale kind of has to pitch in game four if he pitches twice in this series. Has to pitch in game five if he pitches twice in the series. Because game four in New York, you're not putting David Price on the mound in that spot.
No, they got to avoid pitching David Price on the road in general, especially when you're talking Yankee Stadium. In regard to starting with bullpen guys and then going to Chris Sale or David Price, I think that'd be a good idea if they at least had given that a test run and tried that during September. Obviously, we're recording this Thursday. They started their last series of the season tomorrow. I wouldn't mind seeing them try to test that theory out, but I don't have enough confidence in this team to go ahead and do that in the ALDS or the ALCS for that matter. So, I just don't think it's going to happen. You're going to need Chris Sale to keep his pitch count down and not have those 20-pitch innings so that he can make it to the sixth or seventh. And even maybe not even 100 pitches, because, again, you want him to pitch in game four. From what we've seen, he's not going to be able to do that effectively if his pitch count is up. Maybe he can pull together. Maybe he can come out and play well in a big game moment. But I don't know, and I don't know if you have the luxury to really mess with the pitching staff like that.
All right, so before we close the segment out, Matt, me and Lebowitz talked about this last week, but I want to get your take on this. And this is probably – I doubt we'll record another episode until the wild card game is done. So 1.5 games separate the New York Yankees and the Oakland A's for home field advantage in that wild card game. Who do you think – real quick here, who do you think gets it? How much does it matter in terms of who the Red Sox face? And what should the Red Sox be rooting for?
Oh, you're rooting to send the Yankees across the country because, okay, you know, even if they're coming back, and I think the Yankees are probably coming back for the LDS, if you can send them across the country, you know, a nice little 6-hour flight and a 6-hour flight back after leaving here in Boston on Sunday, you absolutely do that. I think the Yankees do hold on to home field, though. You know, listen, you're going into the final weekend of the year. I mean, you know, game and a half, although it'll eventually be a game by the time we get to Friday. I don't see the A's overcoming that, and I don't think the Red Sox really have a lot to play for. The question is, on Sunday, if the Red Sox have the opportunity to send the Yankees out west, do you roll out your regular lineup? I would. Why not? You have 4 days off after that. Why not?
I
think the Yankees get home field, and I think they come back here.
All right, we will see a lot of baseball left to be played. And then, of course, we still have the playoffs, and, of course, we'll have you covered for all of that. Speaking of playoffs, yeah, I'm going there. I'm worried about the New England Patriots. We will discuss that on the other side. This is Calling It, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Calling It. When we did the show Sunday morning before the Patriots game, Alex Lebowitz and myself assured you all would be fine. The Patriots would steamroll the Detroit Lions, go on to 2-1. It would be business as usual. We could not have been more wrong. The Patriots got steamrolled. The locker room, it looks to be imploding with players speaking out of turn, namely Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady clearly not happy. And I'll say it. I'm worried about the Patriots. I know people want to tell me we've been here before. I said that after the Jacksonville loss. They haven't played that bad 2 weeks in a row. I don't remember the last time Josh McDaniels had a game plan that bad 2 weeks in a row. The players are clearly frustrated. People down in Foxborough are telling me this is not how it usually goes when the Patriots have a slow start. I'm worried. So Alex Leibowitz, Matt McCarthy, whichever one of you wants to tell me I'm an idiot for not trusting the New England Patriots first, go ahead. But if they lose this week, I think the playoffs are in serious question. Three games out of the Miami Dolphins, they'd have to go win in Miami. They still have a tough schedule. This is a must win for the Patriots. I am, you know, code red if they lose this week.
I won't tell you you're crazy, Alex. You're going to tell him he's crazy because I pretty much agree. How do you feel?
For the most part, I agree. I think one thing's for sure, the empire is crumbling, so to speak. There's clearly division. There's clearly a riff. Anyone who denies that at this point is crazy. That said, I still think the Patriots are among the best in the NFL in regard to, you know, knowing how to play, knowing how to win. If they lose this week, yeah, I'm going to be really scared. I'm going to be worried for this team. And the possibility of them being a wild card team, although not super likely still, it becomes that much more likely. So
let me clarify what I mean by worried here for a second.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not worried about it not being a Super Bowl season, which is normally what worried means around New England. I'm not worried about the division. I'm worried about the playoffs. And yeah. If they lose this week, I am worried about seeing football in January in New England.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely understandable. Having that top seed, having home field advantage. One thing's for sure, we've seen some unprecedented stuff in regard to the relationship between Belichick and his players. Rob Gronkowski confirming that trade Sunday night after the game. We've never seen anything like that. There's clearly a massive divide. And that's really at the center of all this. You can talk about the talent and the lack thereof, but they're not on the same page. And it's definitely worrisome. And you have to think the clock is ticking on the Brady Belichick era. I don't know if it's going to be done after this year, but within the next 2 years, it's wrapping up. And that seems like it's just inevitable.
And it's not just the and Matt, right before you go, because I know that that we're going to disagree on this, but it's not so much the Brady Belichick relationship, it's the McDaniels Brady relationship, because the defense sucks, but they've won with defenses this bad. It's the offense that worries me, because the defense can't get any better. The defense is what it is. They won Super Bowls with defenses that look like this. I'm worried about the offense not being able to recover. That's what has me scared.
That is where I'll disagree with you. And yes, you know, the tension is absolutely a huge part of what's going on in Foxborough. But like, you don't need me to tell you that. You don't need me to talk about that. What needs to be talked about more is the lack of talent on this team. On the offensive side of the ball, yes. We'll see if Julian Edelman can change that again. 32-year-old slot receiver coming off of ACL. Like, it can't be this bad offensively this year, you know, for the rest of the year. Defensively, though, yeah, it could be this bad.
But it's been this bad, and they've been fine. We've seen this defense win. We've seen them win with this defense.
How much weight do you put on Matt Patricia not being the defensive coordinator? Obviously, they've gotten it done with other defensive coordinators in the past. But does that play a big role in the lack of success?
Because for everything everybody wants to criticize Patricia for, and I'm a big Belichick defender, but I'll say this. Whether you want to talk about Romeo Crennel, whether you want to talk about Matt Patricia, whoever, Belichick runs that defense. That's Belichick's defense. The defensive coordinator is a figurehead position in New England. It always has been. As long as Belichick's here, it always will be. Blaming Patricia for last year makes no sense. Blaming him leaving for what's going on this year makes no sense. The NFL has passed Bill Belichick by defensively, and what we've seen in the last couple of years is he can't catch up to the lack of physicality allowed on the defensive side of the football. You couple that, Matt, like you said, with the lack of talent on that side of the football, and this is what you get. But again, they have won with that because of Tom Brady's ability to spread the ball and because of Josh McDaniels' creativity. But McDaniels doesn't have the creativity, and he's not allowing Brady to spread the ball. You want to talk about the lack of talent on the offense, and that's all well and good, but lack of talent has never really mattered. That's what's so special to me about Tom Brady. I've never really been concerned about who his weapons are because it's never made much of a difference. To me, whether the talent's there or not, It's just about putting Tom Brady in a place to succeed and giving the ball to a rookie running back 80% of the time he's in the game and running off tackle on third and one and telegraphing the play. That's not putting Tom Brady in a place to succeed. If they change the play calling, Brady will recover, talent or not. I genuinely believe that. To me, it's McDaniels figuring his crap out.
Listen, that there's a part of that. Absolutely. You can't keep handing the ball off to Sony Michel. Like, my God, like, put James White on the field for the, you know, put the guy on the field who can actually play, which Brady essentially said on Sunday night.
And right.
If you can ever remember Brady taking a veiled shot at his coaches in a press conference, I mean, I can't remember that. Back to the defense, though. You said they've won with this defense. No, they haven't. They won in 2016 when they had a healthy and effective Dante Hightower. I mean, his drop-off is terrifying. I mean, it looks like he can't play.
But again, to go back anymore to the coaching, I don't even know if it's a drop-off. They're using him in a completely different role. He's not a coverage linebacker.
He was able to at least hold his – I mean, he looks – oh, look at the play where Kerryon Johnson – ran right around him. Like, did you ever see that with Dante Hightower before?
He was never in that spot. He was always rushing the passer. That's what he should be doing more of. It's like when they put Trey Flowers in coverage. Trey Flowers isn't a bad player, but there's no reason for him to be in coverage. They've gone back to that crap.
Yeah, there's a lack of speed on this defense. And it seems like the modern day defense in the NFL has passed Bill Belichick by a little bit, because you look at these linebackers the Patriots have, like a Landon Roberts, I'm sure would have been a decent player 30 years ago when your linebackers didn't need to cover and you
right
just go downhill. Like, slow. Dante Hightower, slow. Kyle Van Noy, slow. The whole defense, and the league has figured this out. Watch, they just run horizontal routes. I mean, it was just all just crosses, slants, little in cuts where you get them running and they can't keep up with you. But, you know, they're aging players on this defense too. Like, Devin McCourty has not had a great start to the year. Patrick Chung, before he got hurt, didn't look, you know, all that. I mean, I think McCourty's looked worse, but, you know, Patrick Chung hasn't looked great so far. I mean, there are a lot of guys here that are names, but you got to wonder if they're still the players that once were. Hightower and McCourty, probably most notable. But if those guys aren't performing, then who do you have behind them? I mean, really, there's a lot to be worried about with this defense. Like, I don't know if it's going to get better. The only way it's going to get better is if Hightower finds the fountain of youth and McCourty starts playing up to his potential. Maybe it could happen. I don't know. But I'm really concerned about this defense.
All right, Lev, what's you been quiet? We'll give you the final word.
Yeah, I think it definitely can happen. We've seen this defense start slow in years past, and then they've built up to be one of the best points per game wise.
Yeah, like last year when the defense started slow and then got exposed for the hacks that they were in the Super Bowl. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, hey, that happens. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they're not as bad as what they played like last week. And I think that seems undeniable. So I'm concerned. This isn't as good of a team as we've seen in years past. They're definitely lacking in talent, but they're going to get a little bit better. They're not as bad as they have been. I truly believe that. If they lose this week, yeah, we're in trouble. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think this team will bounce back. And the defense, you talk about a lack of talent, I still think it's pretty good. I think they really got better in regard to their pass rush. I think Stephon Gilmore's looked pretty good. And Devin McCourty is a seasoned vet. Yeah, he's getting older, but I don't think he's at the stage where he's going to be a liability defensively. So I'm not going to freak out. I'm more worried about the relationship between Belichick, Brady, and Gronk and Belichick as well. Those top guys, because you need cohesion. It just doesn't seem like they have that in regard to their personal relationship, which does matter.
We'll see. Big game on Sunday, then another one on Thursday. I'm telling you, if they lose against Miami, the Colts they should beat, but it's a short week. You never know. And then they have Kansas City, and that's not going to be pretty. I'll tell you that right now. So if they lose this week, you're looking at, you know, 2-4, dare I say 1-5, and not a place any of us wanted to be. Just hoping for one more year of the good stuff before it all fell apart, but that may be asking a little too much. Matt McCarthy's got to run. He will be leaving us before the final segment, but Matt, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again during the Red Sox playoffs. Again, you can listen to the Hardcore Baseball Podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub website.
Check it out. Thanks a lot, guys. Always good to be on with you.
No problem. Thanks, Matt. You are listening to Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Calling It, powered by CLNS. Alex Barth and Alex Lovewitz with you. Thanks to Matt McCarthy, who joined us for the first couple of segments. You can follow him on Twitter at MattMcCarthy985. We'll get into some more hockey preview-y stuff in the next couple weeks as the Bruins get going. But as the teams bring back their third jerseys, no third jerseys last year with the Adidas switch, because I guess Adidas is lazy, which, I mean, that was stupid. Third jerseys are great, but the third jersey is starting to roll through. We're not actually going to talk about the Bruins. We're going to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes bringing back a New England classic. That is the Hartford Whalers jerseys. They'll wear them twice this year, once against the Bruins, reigniting that rivalry. Brass Bonanza's back. I think it kind of lends us to all thinking, Lebowitz, what the hell are they doing playing hockey in Carolina? And why not in Connecticut?
Hey, they should be back. They should be back. 100%. Don't put a football team there, but put a hockey team there.
I'd be fine if they put a football team there.
That'd be fine. I'm referring to how Kraft was going to move it. Although that was just
not the Patriots, but another team. Yeah, I'm fine if they put another team there.
Although I don't know if Connecticut's the spot. I don't know where it would be a good. I think New England's set. I think there's plenty of Bruins fans.
We'll see after this week, but
that's
Connecticut
true.
Too. Connecticut is not New England, and I take a very staunch stance on it. There's a sliver of Connecticut. There is a sliver of Connecticut that is New England, but for the most part, that state is New York. Like England wants nothing to do with them.
It's okay? It's not even New York. It's a bastard child state. That's what it is.
No, but we are going to leave them with New York. Okay, we barely want Maine. We'll put up with Maine. Don't give us Connecticut.
Don't say that. Maine is as New England as any state.
Like a part of Maine is.
No. I think Maine's beautiful.
Okay,
you're a different perspective because you're a Cape Cod guy. You're South Shore. I'm up towards the New Hampshire border.
So New Hampshire, fine. Go to New Hampshire.
I'm closer to Maine than I am to your hometown, by the way.
Who's the bastard? I know I was in your hometown last week for Merrimack football. The bastard child of New England then if it's not Connecticut?
No, it is. I mean, it is Connecticut.
But like once we formally get rid of Connecticut, who's next?
I don't know. I don't want to kick Rhode Island, I think, by default.
Once they lose the Paw Sox, you're kind of right.
Yeah, then there's the Worcester. What do we need you for? The Bruins, the Providence Bruins.
This is the most New England thing about, 78% of people in Rhode Island still think they're in Massachusetts.
And 82% of statistics are made up.
That's right. I'll take South Shore Plaza over the Providence Mall any day. Those escalators suck.
Really? I've been to the Providence Mall. Way too steep,
too narrow. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Providence. They do have the better fire and ice. Providence does have the better fire and ice. The one in Boston does not have the same selection. But okay. I will take the South Shore Plaza over the Providence Mall any day. This isn't the direction we're going to go with the segment, but I actually like this much better.
No, this is nice. I've been to the Providence Mall once. I went to the Dave & Buster's there. Fantastic time. Recommend it. 10 out of 10. I've never been to the South Shore Plaza, however, so I cannot compare. Rhode Island's a fine state. It's great. I think all states besides Connecticut are great New England states. So I love New Hampshire. I think Lake Winnipesaukee is among the best vacation spots in New England. Vermont's beautiful. Lake Champlain, Burlington in general, and Maine is unbelievable. Another spot that I love. Rhode Island's nice. I never go there. So by default, that's the place that I would leave off if we're not including Connecticut.
Well, Matt McCarthy, I wish he was still on for this because he has a famous line. Nothing beats that New England foliage. You know, in college, driving around upstate New York, going to all these football games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the mountains up there, you see the leaves, and you always say, "Nothing beats that New England foliage." Let's do this though, because I just
wait one second. Can we do a trade? Can we give New York Connecticut, and we'll take upstate New York?
I don't hate that trade, but then you get into a whole conversation of defining upstate New York because I don't want Albany, I don't want Schenectady, I don't want Buffalo. I'll just take like a part of the Finger Lakes, and we're probably biased because we went to college there.
Yeah, well, now that I think about it, it's only
right. I want nothing to do with Albany or Buffalo.
I want Canada to take Buffalo.
Canada can take Buffalo. No, no, because then they'll lose their football team. We still need the Bills to beat up on. Hopefully,
no, it'll just be the Toronto Bills.
I mean, they more or less are. Let's do that right now. Power rank. Power ranking the New England states. Massachusetts is number one. That's obvious. We have Boston. We have Springfield. We have Worcester.
Terrible.
Basketball Hall of Fame. Basketball Hall of Fame.
Sure. Okay. But this is how you sell Massachusetts. You got the Cape. You have Boston.
Okay. I was going through cities, but yes,
we have the Berkshires.
We have Foxborough. We have the Patriots play in Massachusetts. The hub of New England. There's a reason they call it the hub. Massachusetts.
Yeah. It's more densely populated. There's more stuff to do. True. It's more fun.
Number two.
I'm a New Hampshire guy. I think it's
probably go New Hampshire too.
New Hampshire has. I went to high school up in New Hampshire.
Okay.
I frequent New Hampshire in the summer. I love Lake Winnipesaukee. It's one of my favorite spots ever. Lake Sunapee's great too. Alton Bay. All those areas are awesome. You have UNH, and then you go way up into the boonies, and you're really secluded. It's beautiful. Loon Mountain. That whole area.
I'll also say fireworks are legal in New Hampshire.
True.
Big plus.
Live
free or die. No sales tax. Strong. That's strong. Exactly.
So freedom and lakes. That's what New Hampshire does.
All right. So New Hampshire number two. Number three, this is where I think we're gonna disagree, but who's your number three?
Maine.
Maine?
Maine.
See,
yep.
I'm gonna go Rhode Island.
Okay.
I am going to go Rhode Island there because I think this is the difference of I've been to Rhode Island a little bit more. Again, they do have the Paw Sox. They do have the better fire and ice. That's clutch. You can always get cheaper flights out of TF Green than Logan. So it's a good place if you're traveling to fly out of. Mm-hmm. So I will put Rhode Island third because of convenience. If there is one way I can sum up Rhode Island, it's convenience.
Okay. I understand that. Rhode Island to you is Maine to me. So Maine, that's that. Like I go to
fly
Maine probably as frequently as you go to Rhode Island. No, I wouldn't do that. I go to Boston. I can't. If anything, I do Manchester.
Well, there you go. Same
idea. About the same distance. So, number four for me, obviously, it's going to be Vermont number four is going to be Rhode Island, actually.
Okay.
Just because I don't go to Vermont enough, and I feel like you got Burlington, and it's a very scenic, beautiful place. But it's full of hippies, and it's too like earthy, crunchy for me. I can do without it. Ben and Jerry's is nice, but it's not enough for me to give it the nod.
See, I'm gonna put Maine fourth. I'm going to go fourth with Maine. Nothing against Maine. Again, Rhode Island a little bit closer. You got the beaches, of course. You got the sea dogs and the red claws. The lobster, great seafood. Maine to me is kind of like if the Cape was a state, which wouldn't be great because the Cape is not a place you should be year round. It's not really a place you should be for more than a week, especially if it's not the summer. That's not fair. I was there for a whole summer. I loved it. It had the Cape League, but the Maine to me is like if the Cape was a state. So it's good for like 2 or 3 months, but not necessarily a full year round necessity.
Yeah. Here's the difference. Well, another thing with Maine, which I love, cause I'm a pretentious craft beer guy. Some of the best beer in the country.
I think you can say about any of these states. I mean, that's a New England thing.
It is, but Maine.
Maine's your top craft.
Maine might be better than Massachusetts, which is saying a lot because Massachusetts is amazing. Boston area is incredible for breweries.
Yep.
Maine has the best food and drink, though, I think, out of all of them. I give them the number one food and drink out of any state.
It depends what kind of food you're talking about because if you want to go seafood, I'll give you Maine. If you want to go Italian food, you're going down to Rhode Island.
Okay, or even Boston. I mean, they got that here too.
That is the one thing, definitely, that Providence has over Boston. That's Italian food. Look, North End's great. There's some great places in the North End. I don't think it touches Rhode Island.
No, another difference with Maine and the Cape. The Cape is full of college kids. Maine isn't. Because I'm an old spirit. I'll go to Maine. That's a place I'd want to retire.
If you know where you're going on the Cape, if you know what you're doing, it's not full of college kids.
That's true.
You're doing. When we were down there, we went to that one bar that had five people at it.
That's
around the
true.
Pool where you couldn't wear a hat.
Trader Ed's. I was actually there like a month ago. And guess what? I went there. We could wear hats that night. They just
really?
Like
oh.
They didn't like us. Yeah.
We were there on fancy night. We were there on black tie night.
Bunch of anti-Semites. No, but it was the Cape's great. Number five would be obviously for all of us. The last one is going to be Connecticut.
Well, wait. No.
Oh, no. Vermont. Vermont's number five.
So for you, it's Vermont. And for me, it's Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island.
Vermont
for both of us. Yes.
And then Connecticut.
And then Connecticut, but again, we're power ranking New England state, so Connecticut not a part of it.
That's true.
But yeah, Vermont, I never look to me. New Hampshire and Vermont are very similar. It's much further for me to go to Vermont, and like you mentioned, a bunch of hippies, and I have family lives in Vermont, and so they're probably not going to be a fan of me saying that. But it's just further away New Hampshire to me, and I know that's going to piss people off. But it's yeah, maybe there's some better skiing. I mean, Smuggler's Notch is in New Hampshire. I was going to say that was the best fun I've ever had in Vermont, but the most fun I've ever had in Vermont was in New Hampshire. So
that's how bad Vermont is. No, New Hampshire's way better because New Hampshire's live free or die. You can shoot fireworks off. You can go right. Jet, all that good stuff. There's just more freedom, and it's closer for me. So I love New Hampshire.
The most fun I've ever had in Vermont was in New Hampshire, I think, something for that's me.
That's the best line.
Connecticut, I guess, is also receiving votes on our power ranking. So I have Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island, Vermont. Alex Lebowitz, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Maine.
No,
I got ours backwards. So we have Rhode Island and Maine 3 and 4. Vermont's at 5. Let us know what you think on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Do we get it right? If you're from one of the states that we didn't have number one and you think your state is number one, you're wrong, but you can try to plead your case all you want. Go for it. So that was originally supposed to be a segment about alternate jerseys, but I like how it turned out. And I'll bring it back. I am excited to see the Whalers jerseys in the NHL again.
We'll save that because I think we could have an interesting discussion on best throwback jerseys. The best jerseys of all time. I think that's a good topic. Yeah,
I think that game's December 23rd, so maybe we bring it back. I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk right around that game. So
Merry Christmas.
There you go. Power ranking of New England states way in. That's going to do it for us this week. Next week, big week. We'll see what happens with the Patriots. They'll have won maybe two games before we record the next show, but a lot could be decided in that time. There's two games in 10 days for the Patriots, two must-win games. Live the Red Sox in the playoffs. Hopefully we will record this before the first game of the ALDS. We may record it during the ALDS. And then some other nonsense too. I'm sure something's going to come up. We almost did the video of the kayaker being hit with the octopus by the seal, which is wild. So maybe we'll get the octopus aside of the story and we can talk about that. Any parting thoughts, Mr. Lebowitz?
Connecticut stinks. It's regionless. Connecticut. Okay, no.
I'm going to mark it right now. This is an official anti-Connecticut podcast.
You know, I think it's unfair. My whole thing is, I think there's fun stuff to do in Connecticut, and there's actually really good food in Connecticut and good beaches. But it's not New England. And anyone who says it is New England clearly is not from New England. They're probably from Connecticut.
I want to leave it on that note. For Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Check us out online at clnsmedia.com. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next week.